Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Om Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Page 32. Person who considers demigods like Brahma and Shiva to be on an equal level with Narayana must certainly be considered an offender. No one can compare to Narayana or Krishna. Krishna is Narayana and Narayana is also Krishna. But Krishna is the original Narayana. Brahma himself addressed Krishna, Narayanastam nahi sarvadehi nam. You are also Narayana. Indeed, you are the original Narayana. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.14. Right, so Krishna being, he's the origin of all the other forms. So he's the complete form, you could say, in that all aspects of the, how you say? His nature is there. Then of that, then what is the most pleasing to him, that's what he manifests as Krishna. And that's the most attractive form. Right? It's the attractive form, it's the original form. Then, to perform all the pastimes as Krishna, then the whole point of Krishna is that he's not God. He's playing human pastimes. That means others have to make the arrangements. Right? Because humans, that's the whole point. Even though one thinks one's the supreme controller, one somehow or another isn't. Strange, but true. Right? So, then that means then Balaram and Mahanarayan, they are making the arrangements. So Krishna expands, you know, as them to do all that. So those aspects of his personality, that would be doing all those kind of arrangements and setups and all, you know, all the God kind of stuff, they do. And then he can just enjoy. So it means he's the Lord of the Ichashakti. That's the main point. His desire. Then, to fulfill that, then you have to have Kriya and Jnana. You have to have the activities that are there, right? So those activities, they are the ones that are the basis for interaction, right? Because if you want to interact with the devotees, you have to have action to interact with. So controlling that action, how action works, results it can get, the situations it's in, all that, then that is all controlled by the Kriya Shakti. So Baladev controls that. Right? But you also see is that you require knowledge, you require skills, you need, you know, identity, you need, you know, all this background knowledge about all these things so you can do that. That Mahanarayan takes care of. Does that make sense? So this is what's happening. The one person, Krishna, expands, in this case is two, more, to take care of all the things that are going on. Then he and Radharani and the Vrajavasis, they can just engage in pastimes. Right? And at the same time, it's because they are the Supreme Lord, then Balaram, they can also take part. Right? Like that. You know, so they're just making these arrangements, because whatever desire is there, it happens. Yes.
Tonight in the other manifestation of Krishna, Krishna is caring about everything.
He is?
He's caring about everything.
Meaning?
Means if he's come here as a human, so he does not, some other person are arranging this.
Yes.
And the other incarnation, he needs to care himself?
other incarnations. The other incarnations are taking care of those parts, various parts.
Like the fish that was me.
Yes, but they're taking care of Krishna, you know, protecting the Vedas, or Krishna destroying the, you know, rebellious Kshatriyas, or these things, because then it's not favorable to the environment.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
Therefore, then, it's just an expansion of that, because you're maintaining the environment. The activities in the environment itself, that's Mahanarayan.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now, then when you expand from that, then you get two flavors. Basic, you could say, kind of directions. One is that I am God, so then that expands out through Vaikuntha.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is I'm the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. You get the Purushavatar, so you get the material creation, the Mahatattva.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so then... in that he's the Lord, then he's the Lord, but there's that aspect of sweetness.
Yes.
So then you get Mathura, you get Dwarka, you get like this. Does that make sense? But it's still the same Krishna.
Yes.
But it still has that a little bit more officialness to it.
Yes.
Like that. Then when you go to Vaikuntha, he takes on a whole different mood. So it's just fully God. The sweetness aspect is not there.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, it's not the prominent flavor. It's not that there's not sweetness in service to Krishna. That's always there. But it's just which is the prominence.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So yeah. Then, yeah, so he's taking a different mood.
Yes.
So you won't take him as the same, you could say, manifestation of personality.
Mm-hmm.
But Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna in Dwarka, Krishna in Mathura, same personality.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that you have the flavor, you just have the aspect on whether he's dealing in, or you know, how he's dealing.
Mm-hmm.
So then. So then, dealing meaning that you have the addition of the majesty. So if you take Krishna in Vrindavan and add some majesty, then you'll get Krishna in Mathura and Dwarka.
Say that this depends on his devotees.
Yes, the devotees that are there. But yeah, because there's devotees that are interested in that kind of flavor, because he being everything, that means that there's going to be living entities that are connected with all that everything.
Yes.
So then he has different realms where he interacts with all those devotees. And then the core devotees, they go with him to all the pastimes. Because
Yes. Even
he comes as Vaikuntha, still Lakshmi's there,
yes. You
know, and all the different personalities are there. But, you know, what aspects they will do in that, it'll have a foundational connection to the original. But because of the nature of majesty in Vaikuntha, it'll have a slightly different manifestation. You know, same, it'll come down then to Mahavishnu, then he'll have his associates,
mm-hmm.
like that. So you always have that aspect. Mm-hmm. So, does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah? Good?
Maharaj, when we speak about this particular point that you mentioned about Mahanaran having two flavors, one is I am God.
No, it means no, two directions are taken.
Two directions.
Mahanarayan, he is, you know, in basically, from what I remember seeing, is Mahanarayan is then he's the form that's in Mathura, and then he expands. You know, then you have that. So you have that first of Sankarshan, Prajumna, Adirudha, and Vasudev in Mathura. Then they expand into Dwarka,
mm-hmm.
like that. But always that. Vasudev will take the mood of, you know, has the aspect of Krishna, and Sankarshan will always have that of Balaram.
Yes.
So even though, because this sometimes, you know, how you say, creates a distraction or an anxiety, that, because Balarev means Krishna is there, so he's that personality, so then he expands as Baladev. Technically speaking, everybody else is expanded from Baladev.
Yes.
But Krishna in Dwarka, I mean, even though he's expanded from Baladeva, it's the Vasudeva aspect, because the Chaturvyuha then expands from Balaram, right? It means Mahanarayana is there, and then you get the Chaturvyuha. So then, but Vasudeva will be Krishna, that mood of Krishna. And Sankarshan will be the mood of Balaram. So then some will say, well, actually, it's all Balaram and that. No, but it's a matter of personality, because you have to remember it's the same person. He's just taking on different moods. You know, it'd be just like, let's say, we have to depend on so many other people. Let's say we want to do a drama, then we have to we have to get into the drama and all the drama that goes with doing a drama with so many other people. Right? Krishna doesn't. He could fill up the whole stage, take each one and take the different role and the different mood and all that, and it's still him. You know what I'm saying? But because they're taking that mood, then he stays in that mood, you know? So, you know, a bit Stanislavski is. You know, so he'll keep that. You know, it's just like sometimes you have actors that they get into the mood of their part, they won't leave it. Even they're offset. You know, they're eating lunch with everybody else, so they'll still do everything as if they're that character. Trying to see that they are always doing that. It's one method that they use. They call it method acting. So the whole point is that Krishna can do, because that's the fun, because otherwise as himself, he's already himself. But the other is that he's taking on this, and it's fun. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the point. For Krishna, it's just pastime. So that's why you don't make so much distinction. There's distinction in that he's manifesting a different mood and all that, but to say that Vishnu and Krishna aren't the same, that's then not understanding what's going on. Because Vishnu and Krishna are the same person. It's just as Vishnu, he only has to manifest 60% of, I mean, that 60 qualities out of 64, you know, to perform that pastime. But to perform pastimes in Braja, he has to manifest all 64. Not that he doesn't have them, because we see with Gopu Kumar that when Gopu Kumar would relate to him, you know, like he would in Vrindavan, and all the other, you know, Vaikuntha Vasis were, you know, getting a little bit disturbed about that, so they came to the side and told him all that. So he wasn't feeling so, you know, I say confident. He was sitting out, you know, in the garden on his own, and Vishnu came out to himself. And then when no one's there, then Vishnu manifests his form as Shyamasundar, there's cows, he plays the flute, does the whole thing. Because it's Krishna. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, the person is there in costume and in character and all that, but then there's someone really close to them is there. Let's say, like, you know, their kid or something like that. So at a moment when they know that no one else can see, they might like give a little smile or a wink or something like that. You know it's them. And then it maintains the relationship. Then you go back to, you know, performing. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. For Krishna, it is Krishna. So the whole point is he is Narayan. So if they attribute greatness to Narayan, he's God, he's the supreme, he's the controller, he's the creator, the maintainer, all that. Krishna, that's Krishna, is doing that. It's just in that mood he does that, and as Krishna, then he plays the part as a human. More fun.
And it can be at the same time.
Yeah, it can be at the same time. Yeah, so he sees that he's going and visiting Mahavishnu.
Yes.
Because he's taking that, but at the same time as then there's also that interaction. But it's just like you think about it. Okay, we have a house, right? In the house there's parents, and there's children. Who's having fun in the house?
Kids.
The kids, right? Not the parents? But they're the senior ones, they're in control, they're the controllers, they're the enjoyers, they're the friend of everyone, they're the
maintenance.
The creator, yeah. So, right? So now do you understand? So Krishna, he's the kid. He expands himself as the parents, as this, as that, and then they take care of everything else. Right? So that's why you see as he expands, they get more senior.
Mm-hmm.
Like Balaram's his older brother, but Mahanarayan is senior to both of them.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? So
more work.
Huh?
More work.
More work, yeah. Like that. So, you know, so In other words, Balaram makes the arrangements and Mahanarayan has to pay the mortgage. so like that.
It's wonderful, you know? It's wonderful.
Yes, that's the whole point. So when they say, he's saying he is, he's this and that, it is true. It's just that it's down here. And Krishna could be sitting there while they're saying all this, and Narayan's there, and they're worshipping, and he'll be there worshipping, and it's fun. Like that. Yes, because the whole point is that Krishna's pastimes is they're fun.
Yes, yes.
Right? Or enjoyable, like that. Kala, or the time factor, has many assistants, such as Swabhava, Samskara, Kama, Karma, and Guna. Swabhava, or one's nature, is formed according to the association of the material qualities. Right, so according to the modes of nature that are there.
Mm-hmm. I would say regarding the modes of nature that they are the instruments of the Mahamaya to deal with things.
Yes, I mean, that's why she's called Trigunamayi. She does everything through the modes. Because everything's controlled. That's why you say if you've transcended the modes, you're not under the control of material nature. Mm-hmm. You know, you still have a body, you still have that, but you're not under the control of the modes, so that means you're not under control of Maya.
The modes themselves, they are more subtle than the mechanical things.
Yes.
The gross things from this material world.
Yeah, even the subtle body, they're subtler than that, because they control, because the mind comes produced from goodness, the intelligence from passion, ego from ignorance, like that. You know, so all these aspects are there, so it controls. So depending upon the quality of goodness that's there, the quality of passion, the quality of ignorance, that's the quality of your subtle body. And that's by how you, means that you have mind, that what you have, that you, as soon as when you enter the material world, you get your quota of mind. And you're going to have it until you leave. But what qualities it'll take on depend upon how you use it. Does that make sense? You know, so if there's more false ego, like that, then the more of ignorance will be more. If there's used intelligence, then there'll be that aspect of passion and things like this. Does that make sense? You know, because as you see is that, let's say you have physicists. You know, physicists and these, the more the hard science wallahs, right? And so, even though their social skills are very minimal, but actually their material desire, their lust is very great. Because all they work with is intelligence, which is connected to the mode of passion. But they're not very refined. They don't know how to express it nicely.
And the mind would be their finest?
That's the goodness. But they don't even, that means, especially like the quantum physicists and all these nuclear physicists, they don't even accept that the mind exists, even though they use it constantly. But for them, they can't, you know, if you can't, you know, like that, then it doesn't exist. You know, basically. You know, so if you can see it under an ion microscope, it exists. And if it's smaller than that their ion microscope isn't powerful enough, it doesn't exist. So technically, Buddhists, you know, if I don't see it, it doesn't exist. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So the point is they have great material desire. Like that, because they're working in that aspect. So even though that's the fun part, is they have so much desire, but they have no ability to express it.
Mm.
Yeah, yes. Basically. Yeah, they just get so much into their head, they're just not even here. Like that. If you see them, it's kind of like they're not there, they're in their head. Mm. You know, others are out. You know, you talk to actors, they're right there and in your face and all the emotion and all that kind of stuff. But the physicists, they're in their head, and they move out, and they kind of, what? You know, they see you come out a little bit, and then if you don't say something that they like, then they go back into the head. But, you know, so that's, you know, hello, anyone home? Go away.
Maharaj, these five things that I mentioned, they are...
No offense to anyone in case... no?
We'll see.
We'll get you after the class.
So these five assistants or the potencies that are invested, they are assisting Kala, the time. Mm-hmm. So this implies that Kala is more subtle than these five because it is involved in the primary creation.
Yeah, because otherwise Swabhava is then a combination of other things. See, nothing can work without that. Why? Time means there's movement. Why will there be movement? Because there's desire. Why is there desire? Because you have a nature. You have samskaras. You have desire. You have your previous karma that's there from that. And you have the particular gunas that you've done. Because otherwise, depending upon that, you'll apply time. Right? So bhava, once nature is formed according to the association of the material qualities. Karanam guna sango Sya Sara Sat Yoni Janmashu, Bhagavad Gita 13:22. Sat and Asat Swabhava, one's higher or lower nature, is formed by association with different qualities, namely Sattvagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun. We should gradually come to the Sattvagun so that we may avoid the two lower gunas. Right, because it's a stronger position. Right? Now we can look in this because some will say, well, unless you come to this, You can't perform devotional service. But then let us look at the origin of this whole, we've started the first opening discussion. Now Krishna is there, it's his icha, his desire. Right? That's why things are going on. So because he has the desire to interact with his associates in that, that's actually the cause for the manifestation of his associates. The dom, you know, the pastimes, all that kind of aspects. You understand? That's what's there. But now what's supporting that then is the mechanical aspects of that manifestation. That's the Kriya Shakti. Right? So it's not that, oh, unless Kriya is there, you don't have the other. No, it's because of Icha. That's why then Kriya then performs those activities. Then you have to have the situation, the knowledge, that flavors and all that. That's supporting the Kriya.
Yes.
Right? So if time is taking the activity, that means all these others, Swabhava, Karma, all these different things, they're going to be supporting that. So the idea is only if you're in the comfortable mode of goodness, then you can perform bhakti. No, bhakti is independent. So, by coming in contact with the devotees, by being engaged in devotional service, that will produce goodness in you. Because you get purified.
Yes.
What are you purified of? Passion and ignorance.
Yes.
Right? And pure goodness means only goodness.
Yes.
Right? So that's the natural original state.
Pure goodness means bhakti, not.
Yes, it means bhakti.
Yes,
so that's the original state.
Yes.
So the whole point is it's not that it's a mechanical process that you have to work on developing goodness independently from bhakti. Then once you've done it, now you can take up bhakti.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's not like that. It's by performance of bhakti, then you'll develop this. But the point is you have to be interested in that. You have to, because rajagun means your desires. Ignorance means, you know, illusion and attachment and false ego. We have to be willing to give those up.
Yes.
Right? And accept the original. Right? It's not that you're giving up one and then you have nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just that if you accept I'm servant instead of the controller and enjoy, then the other goes away. So the point is here is because we have that choice, we have to be able to avoid that. And why are we avoiding it? Simply because it pleases Krishna. So our avoidance of that and staying in the mode of goodness is because it pleases Krishna.
Yes.
That's why we do it. Yes. Not because, oh, unless you come to goodness, then the whole devotional process won't work. And does that make sense? So we're very careful that we understand bhakti is independent.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, yeah. So, but it's not that we're not following mechanics, just that we know the hierarchy of the mechanics starts with pleasing Krishna. Then there's the activities, then you have to have those arrangements, right? You may actually start with the knowledge and arrangements and then perform the activity, get the result offered to Krishna, but it has to start with the point you want to please Krishna. Otherwise, why all these other things? Right? That's mixed devotional service. Is that it's not starting out about Krishna, it's starting out about my identity and the things I like to do and results I like to get. But now, by association of the devotees, I've heard that this will bind you in the material world, and that creates suffering, which we're, you know, aware of, and we want to avoid. So, therefore, it's only through devotional service can you avoid that. So, to avoid that, we have to perform devotional service. Right? So, therefore, I'm taking whatever I'm doing and connecting it to Krishna. You understand? So, we're starting at the other end. We're starting with our identity and that, then what we can do with that identity, and then we're offering it to Krishna.
Yes.
And because it connects to Krishna, it's perfect.
This is kind of for the neophyte condition.
Yes. Yeah. So, it's perfect.
Yes.
But better than that is you don't identify with those. You're identifying as servant of Krishna, though you may not be so well situated that you're always thinking, you know, on the transcendental platform. But it's not, the motive is not your own nature. It's pleasing Krishna, but you're comfortable with using that conditioning you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the area you work within. So you'd prefer working in that area. Why work in something else?
Mm-hmm.
Understand? But then the Uttama platform is, it's about pleasing Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
To please Krishna, you have to perform an activity. Okay, to perform the activity, then you have to have a particular knowledge, skill, and identity. Which ones do I have?
Yes.
So then I perform that for Krishna.
Yes.
You understand? But it started at the other end.
Yes.
Right? It descended, not ascended. Right? But ascending is the beginning.
Because the Uttama doesn't have conditions. There's no attachments. Directly identifies with it. It's not attachments.
He directly identifies, but that doesn't mean he has prema. Right? When they go from the position of bhava to prema, then they have prema, then it'll be based on a particular attraction to Krishna. But otherwise, they have that, but it hasn't become full enough to turn into prema. So that's why it's still a sadhana, a practice, but it's on bhava sadhana. It's not controlled by the rules of Vaidhi. You know, it's following the rules of attachment, you know, of this rag. So even though it is, we don't count, when we say sadhana bhakti, we don't include bhav sadhana bhakti. It just means vaidhi bhakti. And that same vaidhi being done with the spontaneous mood, so raga nuga. But there's still, both are sadhana bhakti. Sometimes they say, okay, there's sadhana, then there's rag. No, rag is part of sadhana.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. It's only when you come to the platform of bhava, now it's not that. Now you're talking, it's bhav sadhana. Right? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Good? Yes. You means the Agyata Sukriti comes from the devotees. So by the association of the devotees, that's the only way you're engaged in devotional service. Otherwise, until you've contacted the pure devotees, one will not know what pure devotional, what devotional service is. It's the mercy of the devotees. That's why it's Krishna so strict on you can't blaspheme those devotees. Because his mercy comes through them. Right? Does that make sense? Because he will reciprocate. So it has to start somewhere. You know, that's the whole thing that's coming up. How does the creation start? So it starts with the devotees. So the devotees, they start the process. They preach. Krishna's there in the heart. He's making arrangements. You know, it's you go to your, you know, that shop that you always get your coffee from, but then they're doing some road work, so you can't go there, so you go around to the next block because there's one two blocks over, and while you go around the corner there, now you bump into a devotee. Krishna arranges that, but it's your interaction with the devotee and how you deal then is what's going to define how much advantage you take of that association. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because you always hear the stories of the devotees, how they met. It's always something far out. You know, like that. So it's just, that's because Krishna arranges it. As soon as you actually kind of wonder what's going on, then Krishna arranges that you meet the devotees. Yeah.
Everything happens through the mercy of devotees.
Yeah. But that means it's Krishna's mercy.
Yeah, yeah.
coming through the devotees.
But I have a question. What about various things happen and you find yourself in contact with Krishna? Does it come from prior lives, devotee service and contacts?
But the point is that even we come in contact with Krishna, and we appear, apparently we haven't met the devotees, then...
No, I don't mean after devotees, before devotees.
Yes, but the point is how are you meeting Krishna? You know, I'm just saying, you walk down the street and then standing on the corner there...
And devotees or something.
Means, let's say, you haven't met the devotees, but you, how you say, see in the library, you know, Bhagavad Gita as it is. But the point is why is that book in that library? The devotees put it there. Or they sold it to someone who put it there. So if devotees are always involved, then if you show that there's some interest, then Krishna will, you'll contact the devotees. And if there's none, then you wait. Like that. So,
regarding this Ichha, Kriya and Jnana, in the new five stage, like, Lord is there, but we are not so much conscious of Him. Mm-hmm. So, we are in contact with Guru and superiors. So, can it be applied to them that we, their Ichha, we focus on their Ichha, and then try to engage our activities for them, like in that sense, instead of
it means you use different terminology. You know what I'm saying? You just look at the, you have Abhideya, Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. That's your main category. These are just subdivisions within that to bring out different aspects. So the point of each is Krishna's desire. It may come to us through the devotees, but the point is it's Krishna's desire. So we don't have to take the whole thing and shift it. Not that you can't, but it's what's the point? You know what I'm saying? Means we're going to be engaged in activities of devotional service. That's Abhideya. We've heard the knowledge. From the knowledge, we understand you apply it. That's Abhideya. And the goal is to please Krishna. Okay. We should gradually come to the sattva guna so that we may avoid the two lower gunas. This can be done if we regularly discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and hear about Krishna's activities. Nasta prayeshva vedreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:18. All the activities of Krishna described in Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning even with the pastimes concerning Putana, are transcendental. Therefore, by hearing and discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, the Rajagun and Tamagun are subdued, so that only Sattvaguna remains. Then, Rajagun and Tamagun cannot do us any harm. Because the whole point, they can exist, but as long as they don't bother you, what do you care? Varnashram Dharma, therefore, is essential, for it can bring people to Sattvaguna, right? So, what is the opposition to Varnashram? It's an opposition to being in the mode of goodness. Because being in the mode of goodness means I'm doing things because I should, not because I just feel like it. Right? You can say, but you know, what about the moods? What about the individuality and all that? That's not what we're talking about here. Because if we're worried about individuality, then why, when you contact such a person, if your mood's different from theirs, they get upset that your mood's not the same as theirs. So it's not about individuality. Very, very clear. All these lofty terms that are used to put Varnashram on the side because it doesn't deal with the individual and the feelings and all that, these are just tricks so that someone can remain in the position I'm the controller and enjoyer. That's all. Right? Does that make sense? Now, if you have one of these devotees from the 60s, Okay, and it's not, well, Prabhupada didn't, we didn't do that in those days, even though he's talking about it and saying in his books, but those books were printed later, so therefore they didn't follow him, and so then they're stuck in that time war. But the point is that the time war connected to Prabhupada, it's perfect, don't worry, they're going back to Godhead, you don't worry about them, worry about yourself. Right? So it has to be clear that that's a separate situation.
Now we have the books.
We've grown up with the books. Prabhupada's saying this, so it's essential. But it's Varnashram as Prabhupada and the Acharyas give it. Not Varnashram as we go through it and find points that match our conditioned nature. So now I like that and overemphasize that and neglect all the other stuff that they talk about. Right? Yeah. Yeah, so it's just like, what do you call it? Like the, how you say it? The wife follows the husband, right? It's like, that's the first one that the men always grab onto. If you have a group of devotees, and that, you go, okay, just to start off the discussion, can anybody tell me what is the, you know, what's the relationship between the husband and wife? What's the duty of the wife and all that? All the hands on the men's side will go up, and they'll all say one thing, to follow the husband. Right? If you ask him for a second thing they're supposed to do, no idea. Zero. But that one, it's just like it's, how you say? Yeah, etched or, you know, carved into stone in there. You know, like that. So, that'll be caught. Guaranteed. You know, right? And so, but, Manu mentions that point, but the point that follow means there's movement. That means the person in front's going somewhere. That part is not caught at all. It means a few individuals may, but as a group, no. And that it's about pleasing the wife. Manu gives a whole thing about this. You know, it's happy, it's festivals, and, you know, nice clothes, and ornaments, and nice dainty foods. You know, fine things like that, and, you know, does that make sense? Right, yeah. Does that make sense? What? Can you speak in English, please? Yeah. So, that part won't be read. It won't even be noticed. So, when we say here, Varnashram, it means as Prabhupada gives it, and try to catch that mood. Because that's the whole point. It's trying to situate us in goodness. So, the point is Varnashram situated in goodness. What does that mean? I'm doing things because I'm supposed to do them. You know, it's the right thing to do then, and it creates regulation in the life. You have to be respectful. You can't see yourself as a controller because you have to work with all these others. That's just on the material point, right? All qualities that no one in the contemporary society wants to even go near. Right, so you don't even get any advantage of the Shankya philosophy of proximity and superimposition. You're just not even going to go near those. Let alone that the point is then being situated in goodness, then doing that for Krishna, now it becomes pure goodness. And I'm doing following the rule because it pleases Krishna. I'm doing these duties because it's a way I can engage myself in Krishna's service. I'm respectful to all others because of their connection with Krishna. Does that make
sense? Whatever morality and ethics that people are working hard for, that has been achieved with Varnashram itself.
Yes, Varnashram already has it. It's the origin of it. Yes. Means they're quoting these things as they're trying to make morality as if it's dharma. No, morality is just, you know, what you, because of dharma, therefore you follow morality. Right? Morality means those things that you should avoid. Right? Ethics means those things you should do. Right? If it's ethical, this is what we should do. Oh, that's not moral means that you shouldn't be doing it. You understand? They're interchanged because if you have one, means that if you're avoiding something means you should be doing something positive. And if you're doing something positive, you're avoiding the negative. So you can use them individually to mean both. You know, or you can say in both ethics and morality. Generally people don't, but technically. And so, but that's based on dharma, because how do you know what ethics and what morality you should follow? Right? So just like, let's say, for the grihastha, is it ethical for them to put in, you know, good attention into women? You know, means of their family.
Yeah.
No. Oh, okay.
South Indian temple.
Right. Just a chat.
What I meant is family woman is okay, not outside of that.
Okay. Varnashram Dharma, therefore, is essential for bring people to Sattva-guna. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama loba dhyas chaye. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:19. Tamo guna and rajaguna increase lust and greed, which implicate a living entity in such a way that he must exist in this material world in many, many forms. Because all the different things, whatever you do, then you'll get a reaction for that. So that will put you in many, many different forms.
Yes.
That is very dangerous. Because only human form is actually useful for Krishna consciousness. So that means is that the 8 million aren't useful like that, unless a devotee gives you prasad. If you happen to be a duck in Regent Park, then maybe, you know, you're doing okay, like that. But, yeah. It's dangerous. Then of the 400,000, not all of them are actually civilized. And civilized is defined by following Varnashram. Right? So that just makes it so much easier. Because when there's the mode of passion, there's the mode of ignorance, then people get distracted so easily. Mm-hmm. By senses, by social issues, economics, the justice, you know, the impersonal concepts, all these things that get distracted by. Dharma, generally not. You don't have to worry about that one. Modern society, they'll avoid that one. But, you know, they'll even take up the impersonal path, as long as it's impersonal path within the political, social, economic, and sensual field.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that. Then, you know, then you can be a yogi as long as you're a sense gratifier, you know, seeking peace. Like that, yeah. One should therefore be brought to Sattva-guna by the establishment of Varnashram Dharma, and should develop the brahminical qualifications of being very neat and clean, rising early in the morning, and seeing Mangal Arti, and so on. In this way, one should stay in Sattva-guna, and then one cannot be influenced by Tamaguna and Rajaguna. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:19. So that's the whole point. Krishna has given this, the Acharyas have given this, but according to how the Acharyas have given, then we move forward. But the concept that, does it fit, does it matter, then that's actually, to doubt that, okay, it's explained. But to continue to doubt that, that's a misgiving. So that means in this field, there's going to be some agnosticism or even atheism. So in any case, it's not theistic. So philosophically, one may be theistic, but when it comes to actually the lifestyle, and how you situate yourself and all that, in other words, the social considerations, economic, then it's not theistic.
Yes.
Because it's just a matter to what myself and what my friends are agreeing to. And basically it comes down to myself, because if my friends don't agree either, I'll get new friends that do agree. If I can't make them agree, I'll get new friends. Like that. So it's not a very efficient system for creating community. Right? Especially not community of devotees, because there's such a difference in that. So it's not a question of Varnashram, whether it should be applied or not. It's how we should apply. What's the practicalness? And since the Acharyas have given it, then it can be used. We can't say, oh, that's for India. No, it's for the universe. The universe, right? Because we say, oh, but we don't follow all these things. You think the demons in the lower planets, that they're not interested in sense gratification?
Yes.
Right? And do they have sense gratification?
Yes.
Do they have more than what's going on here? And they follow Varnashram. So it can't be all that bad, even if you're a gross materialist. But since we're devotees, we're not gross materialists, therefore it should match even more nicely. Right? It's just like this. Okay. In the Vedic system, okay, then you meet someone and all that, and you see that they are, you know, a Brahmin. So is that considered socially okay? Okay. Now, in the modern society, if you meet someone, they're a doctor or a lawyer, you know, or an academic, is that okay? Right? Okay. Now, let's say you're in the Vedic system, and you meet someone who's an administrator. They're working in the government, you know, controlling things, doing all that. Is that a respectable position? Okay. Now, in the modern culture, if you meet someone who's part of the government or doing something like that, has an office and all, is that respectable?
Yes.
Okay.
We need to.
Hmm?
We need to.
Yes. Yes. Then we look at the Vedic system. Then, okay, someone, they're an entrepreneur, they have to run their business, they're making their money, they're well-situated and all that. Is that respected? Yes, they're well-to-do, right? Now, if we were to come to the modern society and all that, someone's a businessman, they're situated nicely, they're doing well. Is that respected? Okay. What's the difference? So, now here is the bottom line. Now, in the Vedic system, now someone's a Shudra, then it's not on the top thing unless according to their specific qualifications, they're really good in their field. You know, the best singers, the best this, then they'll be famous. Right? Because that's the whole thing. Shudras want to be famous. The other three, they'll be famous anyway. But Shudras, that's the main thing, they want to be famous. It's very important for them. Because then they're known. Otherwise, then they're just the guy in the corner that makes shoes or something. But if you're the guy that makes the best Italian shoes in the world, you know, that funny little shop and that little lane around the back, things like that, that only, you know, the top people know about, then, you know, you're good. But otherwise, if you're not famous, you're just that guy in that little shop around the corner in the back that no one knows about. You understand? So then now we see there may be a problem amongst, of overall social status. And if we come into the modern scenario, if you just work a job and this and that, and that work for somebody, then, you know, it's nothing special. Just because of your occupation or situation, it's nothing that's outstanding. Right? So it's the same. So the point is in the modern, because basically most people that you move with are Shudras, so therefore it's just a matter of who has what job as a Shudra. You know, so if you have one connected more to a Brahminical Kshatriya or Vaishya thing, then that's better than if it's not. You know, if you're just washing pots or something. Right? And so then that's where it comes in. But in the Vedic, it's a little bit more obvious. But in the modern, you don't have as much there. So to avoid any social feeling of bad, therefore if you avoid the Vedic, it won't point out what your mentality is. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, because if you don't want to control or enjoy, what's the problem where you are, what your position is? Right? You know, if you're able to accept the mode of goodness that I follow rules and regulations, what's the problem? Point is, I don't want to be regulated, I don't want to be controlled, I don't want to be put into, in my idea, a box. But the point is I put everybody else in boxes, that's all I do all day. Like that, because the idea is that if there's not boxes, then where's the prestige? The prestige is in the boxes, but the point is I can move in any box I want. Right? But if you move in actually these upper three echelons, you can't.
Yes.
It's only on the bottom one, just by what you say and talk and your feelings, then you can position yourself any way you like. You know, it's just like, okay, no, but I really would like to do, oh wow, that's so nice and all that. Yeah, that's great. So then you're doing okay. But now you're sitting there in the Chamber of Commerce, all the guys there, all the big businessmen and all that, and they ask, oh, hey, what do you do? Oh, no, I just work in the office around the corner there. Like that, huh? You're not a businessman? No, but I really like to be. You know, I really, just that feeling of, you know, getting so much money and being able to do things with it, and all are these businessmen going to go, wow, okay, great guy.
Get out.
Yeah, no. So in other words, this kind of thing of rejecting the Vedic system, the Varnashram system, only works to support the prestige of a Shudra mentality. But otherwise, even within the Karmi system, we say, oh, Varnashram doesn't apply. But in the Karmi system, someone who's in the Dwija area, they'll understand it. It's going on anyway. The businessman, he has to go, you know, make friends with the guys in the government, because then they, you know, get the work done for him. So he knows they're superior. You know, and the thing you have to sell or get done or the government, things like that, comes to the guys that are the guys with the brains. And if they're not detached, then how do you get it? Right? Isn't it? You make money off of it because they'll take less money than what you'll make from it. That's how it works. So Brahmins that by nature are detached. You expect them to be like that. The guy's written a book. You like the book, you want to make a movie out of it, or you want to publish it like that. You expect him to take less than what money you'll make from it. Because if not, then why you'd be interested? Does that make sense? And if the guy's clever, he'll do his own thing. But how many do that? Because that's the whole point. Your intellectuals don't do that. So it's Varnashram. It's just not scientific. There's too much passion and ignorance. So it's not who does what, and because they're lust and their greed, then everybody wants more than what they should have. You know what I'm saying? It's just like the Brahmin, let's say, is running a medical institution. How much money he'll make? Right? Nothing. Enough to kind of maintain and, you know, expand a little bit to get some new facilities so he can, you know, do better treatment and all that like that. But like that. But so now the businessman gets greedy, because if he takes it over, how much money can you make from a medical institution? Huge amount of. You know? You ever seen, like, you go over and, what do you call it? I don't know if you ever seen, like, Ayurvedic medicine shops? How much does the medicine cost? Right? Not much. You know, even some of the things with gold and that, it'll cost a little more than the other stuff. Yeah, but now if you turn that into modern pharmaceuticals, they'll make such a ridiculous amount of money out of it. You understand? So that's the thing. That's the greed. It's not yours. You shouldn't be dealing with it. Be satisfied, you know, selling your cloth and your rice. No, they have to deal in the medical field. They have to deal in the law field. They have to deal in the educational field. And they make huge money out of it. But before, you don't hear of educational institutions making money, or medicine making money, or law making money. But in the contemporary age, then, these are where all the money is made. Does that make sense? You know, pharmaceuticals is, other than weapons, is the biggest market there is. But the two go together, you know. Because of the weapons, then you need the pharmaceuticals. So, you know, they're probably brothers who own the whole thing, right? You know. You know, then one brother's in law, you know, so like that. So, you know, and one's in medicine, so he prescribes the pharmaceuticals like that, and the other one like this. Yeah, it works out.
Even the education is joining them. The education field is also joining these two.
Yeah, yeah, of course, because they figured out how to make money from it. Yeah, you know, that's how it works. So because of greed, then people do, and then because of that, then who can afford these things? Right? Like that. So that's why passion and ignorance are avoided, and that's why Varnashram is used, because then it defines who should do what. But when you say, no, but it should be, oh, anybody can do anything, that's only greed. Because since when should everybody do anything? No, you have, at the same time as these same people respect modern degrees. This is the funny part. No, everyone should do everything means it's not about degree, it's just about feeling. But at the same time as when you say, oh, we're doing a school here, oh, the devotees have degrees in education? No, then how can you do? Same people. Exactly the same people.
Same guna.
Yeah. So the mode of passion. Because the degree means money. Like that. So that's why then one should be very careful. The opportunity for this purification is the special feature of human life. In other lives, this is not possible. Such purification can be achieved very easily by Radha Krishna Bhajan, devotional service rendered to Radha and Krishna. And therefore, Narottam Das Thakur sings Hari Hari, Bifale Janma Goinu, indicating that unless one worships Radha and Krishna, one's human form of life is wasted. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayant Yasu Vairagyam Srimad Bhagavatam 127. By engagement in the service of Vasudeva, one very quickly renounces material life. The members, right, because material life means passion and ignorance. Right? And so you're trying for pure goodness. We situate ourselves in goodness only to get to pure goodness. Otherwise, we're not also interested in goodness. It's a better situation. The members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, for example, being engaged in Vasudeva Bhakti, very quickly come to the stage of being nice Vaishnavas. So much so that people are surprised that Malechas and Yavanas are able to come to this stage. You can remember one devotee was... He was from a... What would you call... Their group is they're outside the Varnashram, but in India.
Harijans
and all that. They're outside that. So someone from that kind of a background, really intelligent and all that, South Indian background. So then he was, I think he was at Melkote. And the Brahmins were chanting their mantras. Now in Sri Vaishnavism, then Sri Rangam is their main, but Melkote is the next, because for a long time, the whole it was the center. There was a problem, I think, with the Jains or the Buddhists and all that, so they all shifted from Sri Rangam to Melkote. And so it tends to be, even though the main puja and all the big opulent worship and the festivals is Sri Rangam, Melkote is known for its scholarship. So they kind of do all their libraries there, all their research, all that kind of stuff is done there. Their publishing is out of there. Not that they don't have scholars in the other, it's just that the grandeur of Sri Rangam kind of eclipses, you don't notice that. But at Melkote, being out of the way, being more of a monastery, it's more quiet, you'll notice that more. Right? So they're there, they're performing their festival, they're chanting their Vedic mantras, this devotee is chanting along with them, and not just kind of on the side, confident, strongly, and all that. And it's kind of like, who's this guy? And then I think they noticed him for some time, and then somebody later, I think, saw him at the bus stop or something like that, and asked him, where did he study? Who is he? Like this. So when they find out that he's coming from an outcast background, and he's studied and learned all the mantras of somebody from an outcast background, the Brahmin guy said, it's impossible. It can't be done. Like that. He just said, it's not possible. They let him chant with them and all that, but they just can't understand how it's possible. Because he chants perfectly, even better than many of them. So that's the thing, because of devotional service, that situates you in goodness, so therefore you can perform the activities of goodness. But it's by bhakti. But otherwise, if you're not using bhakti, generally is what you see is there, that's what you get. Like that. But it's still open. But it'll be very rare. Like Satyakama Jabala, that's rare. But the Vedic system's open to that. But in devotional service, then you see everybody can act on this brahminical platform. And then within that, then they'll take up their activities, whatever they're doing. If it's within the temple, then, whatever's there, it's all for Krishna, so it's all that brahminic. And if they're not, if they're in the community, then it'll take their occupation, will take on according to their conditioning. But you'll see as when they do service in the temple, then it's all on that transcendental platform. Does that make sense? Yeah. This is possible by Vasudeva Bhakti. Touchy subject or something? Outcast becoming farmers? Are you kidding? Okay. This is possible by Vasudeva Bhakti. But if we do not come to the stage of Satva Gun in this human life, then, as Narottam Das sings, Hari Hari Bifale Janma Goinu, there is no profit in gaining this human form of life. Right? So we're only interested in that because from there, then, that we can do that for Krishna. We're not just, the movement's not trying to get people to the mode of goodness, it's trying to get people to pure goodness. But the situation and the activities you do are the same. So this neat and clean, rising early in the morning, seeing Mangalartik, and so on, that's the mode of goodness. Right? Sri Vairagavacharya recommends that each of the items mentioned in the first half of this verse is a cause for material entanglement. Kala, or the time factor, agitates the modes of material nature. And Svabhava is the result of association with these modes. Therefore, Narottam Das sings, Bhakta Sane Bas. One associates with bhaktas, then one's sarupa, or nature, will change. Right? It doesn't mean that it won't have the aspects of the mechanical abilities of the particular guna and karma. But now, in its purified state, it's actually functioning on the platform of pure goodness. But the mechanics of it will be in these other aspects. Does that make sense? So instead of technically being under the modes, now we're dealing with the Samvit, Sandini, and Vladini shaktis. But we don't have to deal with their transformation. Oh, okay, not that. And even he's getting out. It's all the brahmacharis. What's this? This nonsense. We're not listening to all this.
Okay. Indian one.
Huh?
Indian one.
Yeah.
For Maharaj, by the association of devotee, everything can become it's becoming clear about our nature.
Yes, yes. It's clear. Then you know. Because the point is this, if we're not it, then what's the big deal? It's not a matter of social status. I was always impressed by seeing devotees and talking, and something came up and they were talking about their background, maybe in the family came, or even some other times. And while other devotees are talking about, you know, their positions and what they were doing and this and that, it's more of a, you know, stature in that. They'll bring those aspects up. These particular devotees, just because of their purity, then they would mention things that you wouldn't bring up because of the social status thing, you know. But then, like the principle of Satyakama Jabala, then that's obvious they're Brahmins. Otherwise, they wouldn't bring it up. You know? Like that. You know, it's like someone was saying something, I was looking at the cloth, I had a piece of cloth, and then they came and saw the cloth, and were looking at it. Oh, okay. Like this. And I didn't understand. I said, what's happening? He said, so this is the front, and this is the back. I said, wow, how do you know? He says, one time I was assisting in a tailor shop. You know, so stuff like that, is there, you know. So it's just, they would bring up things that just wouldn't, and it wasn't a problem for them. Because it's not, they're not that. That's the conditioning, that's the situations they went through. But they, as the soul, aren't that. So if it applies, they use it, and if it doesn't apply, they don't. Yes. Our Krishna conscious movement is meant to give people good association so that this change may take place. So, even it goes up and it brings you to that, let's say, brahminical platform, still within the brahminical, then one will, as long as one's, you know, still working a bit with the condition, then one will work within those areas within that. Because the brahminical includes all the branches, of all 14 branches. Does that make sense? But they'll work within that. Let's say someone, knows economics, right? But now in the temple environment, they'll deal with those economical things in the temple, but it's all about the temple. They're making no profit from it. But someone who's not as pure, then they'll deal in that economic field to gain economics for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
While this, they become so purified, they're functioning on the Brahminical platform. They're only doing temple service. Everything's for the temple. But they're good in working with the economic area of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So you can say it changed because now it's acting as Brahminical. But it's not that their knowledge of economics goes away. But then with time, you'll see is as they do that and they do the service and that become more and more established in Krishna consciousness, then they can just study and preach, which is the topmost, occupation of a Brahmin. They're just natural. So all Vaishnavas can come to that position.
Yes.
Right, because of the nature of the soul. But it's not that, I can do anything and I mix up the lower aspects. That's wrong.
Yes.
It means everybody can just sit down and chant and speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like that. But who's going to listen to me? So then why would you want to do that? You know what I'm saying? Why are you talking about equality? Because if you're on that transcendental platform, who cares? Oh, we're not this body, we can do anything. Okay, great. So then sit down and do it. Right? Does that make sense? That's the whole point. You sit down, you give, you study, you create a satsang, people will come. But if it's about prestige and all that, then stick to your conditioning. You know, don't use the, how you say, best of both worlds kind of program.
Maharaj, why Srila Prabhupada wanted, as I remember in Canto 4, he said the goal of this movement is to create Brahmana.
Yes, that's the goal. But in doing, in creating Brahmanas, you'll create all the others.
Yes.
Because Brahmins, from Brahmins come Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas can create the environment in which the Vaishyas and Shudras can flourish. And also they protect, so the Brahmin culture grows. But the point is that if you're creating Brahmins, you'll get all the others. Because the education for Dwijas is basically the same. It's a Brahminical education. It's just what they specialize in. That would be different. Right? So the ashram training is the same. And the study in scriptures will be the same. Right? The basic study. But now where they focus, that will be specialized. That will be according to their varna. Does that make sense? And then arts, how much they can learn and that will also be according to their nature. Because the arts is generally the lighter side. You know, so you know this, how you say, those arts or sciences that you make your money from, that's your occupation. Those that are a hobby, that we just call arts.
Yes, yes.
Right? In other words, if you know music, it's a hobby.
Yes.
If you're a musician as then you're known by that.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
So it's just a matter of the first two is everyone is trained in the ashram, everyone's trained in the Vedic literatures. Then where you specialize in the, you know, hard and soft sciences and all that and the arts, that's then the individual nature.
Yes.
So the Vedas already deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Therefore, Bhakta Sannivas, let people have the chance to live with Bhaktas. Then their habits will change. So that's the whole point you're trying to do. That was the idea of the temple. There was nothing out there, so you have to have a temple. Then everybody comes together.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have that association. Those who do live out, they come to there. Now, if you're going to expand even more where you have a huge community, then they have to have association. So if they're just a community and never really come to the temple or do anything amongst themselves, it's not actually accomplishing what the mission is for. So either they're attending things at the temple or they're having their own little satsangs, or even better is both.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that then is what the mission is for. It's about Bhakta Sannivas. To live in the association of the devotees.
Yes. Yes.
Then their habits will change. In the human form of life, one has this chance. But as Narottam Das Thakur sings, Hari Hari Bifale Janma Goinu, one fails to take advantage of this opportunity, one's human life is wasted. We are therefore trying to save human society from degradation and actually elevate people to the higher nature. Right? Means the transcendental position.
Mm-hmm.
Right? As for kama and karma, desire and activities, if one engages in devotional service, one develops a different nature than if one engages in activities of sense gratification. And of course, the result is also different. According to the association of different natures, one receives a particular type of body. Karanam guna sango sya sarasat yoni janmashu. Bhagavad Gita 13:22. You can see here, Prabhupada, same purport. He's also using the verse twice. Like that, because now you're bringing out a different point. 13:22. Therefore, we should always seek good association, the association of devotees. Then our life will be successful. A man is known by his company. If one has the chance to live in the good association of devotees, one is able to cultivate knowledge, and naturally one's character or nature will change for one's eternal benefit. Right? That's okay.
Term yoni is the nature or species? Yoni, Prabhupada, you have sat, asat, yoni. So is it the nature?
Well, you have sat ones and asat ones.
And that is the nature or the particular species is being referred to.
What's the difference?
An individual person may have various natures.
Yeah.
But species, like he is in a particular species.
You should ask. So, the species comes about because of? Why do you end up in an animal form?
Because in the last life he cultivated that
attitude, right? Attitude. So then what's the difference?
Same.
In other words, you're bringing him from animal to human. And then within human, you're bringing him up to the topmost level of Vaishnavas. And then what their specific knowledge and skills, that will have to be engaged anyway. Okay. Sutta 229. Anyata numitau cha gya shakti viyogat. Anyata, otherwise, anumitau, in case of inference, cha and gya, intelligence, shakti, power, viyoga, because of being destitute of. Arguing that gunas are remarkable has no foundation, since the gunas are without consciousness. Right? Because you're saying the gunas are remarkable. You can say the effect is remarkable. The gunas themselves, what makes them work? You know, it's just like, let's say you go to a music recital, and then you're sitting there and listening to it, and say, how do you like the music? Oh, the veena is amazing. It just, you know, what sounds it's producing and everything like that. It says, you know, but the magician is playing. It says, what do you mean? No, it's the veena. The veena is, that's it. Yeah, no. Yes. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki,
Jai
Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda.